Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Arr, ahoy, crew members. Today's show is a service of our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this show. Thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I want to start the show and Monday by saying happy end of the weekend, everyone. But also letting you know that I've got a major thing coming up here on October 16th. And that is going to be out in Haymarket, Virginia at the Evergreen Country Club. Mm-hmm. I will be emceeing and auctioning Helping Haitian Angels event. And I am very, very excited for it. And it is a cause that's near and dear to my heart because the Harveys started this years and years ago. I had the pleasure of going down to Haiti. See the kids
all right,
down
sir. Here we go there. What are they going to give for?
But yes,
I'm
that's right.
$600 down here now, 10 and now, 25 and now, 35 and now, 50 and now, 60. Will give me 60 now?
Shut up. You know how we both feel about auctions. Let me tell you about this. This is it's a wonderful event that they're having, and I really hope that anybody from the D.C. area gets a chance to head out there because we're going to try to raise a lot of money for Haiti. It's called Raise the Roof Phase 2, Friday, October 16th. That is at, 6:30 it gets underway. I'm sorry, 6 o'clock till midnight. Ooh, party time.
Ooh, witching hour. Ooh.
At the Evergreen Country Club in Haymarket, Virginia, you can get live music from One Hot Mess. There's a plated three-course meal, so they're not going to serve it on the floor, which I think is absolutely incredible. And it's wonderful. And I think you're gonna. There's a live and a silent auction. There's some good events out there, and cocktail attire is
requested.
So I will be wearing, as my is my want, jean shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
Now, Mike,
that is my cocktailing attire.
Can I show the difference between a silent auction and a regular auction?
Yes.
Okay, this is a regular auction right here. 5 and 10. I'm fired out of it now. 10 now. 15 on the
right.
And here is a silent auction.
Hold on. I actually love that.
Start it again. Demonstrate it again.
Okay, here is a regular auction. 15. I'm 15. 20. I'm 15. 20. 5 and 30. And 30. And here is a silent auction.
Hello.
What is she doing there?
Decided I'd play it for you on Monday because I know you're feeling a little under the weather. So I thought I'd do that.
Sweet. Thank you.
So anybody that's out in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Baltimore, that
Delaware.
Area, remember, it's I don't think it's sold out, but it's Friday, October 16th. If it's a plated three-course meal, that would indicate to me that you can check and see because it might be a limited number of people. But I don't think so. I'd like to get a lot. For tickets, it's tinyurl.com/HHA event. That's tiny, tinyurl.com/HHA event. Why are you shaking your head?
Oscar, do you want to help him out here?
Mike, you're a rube.
No,
you know why you're a rube? Because I've never heard anybody on the radio or on TV give a tiny URL address. Please. The tiny URL is a redirect for a real website.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what is the real website, then?
Well, you tell me.
HHA event.
Helping Haitian Angels event? I don't know.
What is their website? Is it helpinghaitianangels.com?
Just to Google Helping Haitian Angels. I'm sorry, I just got this at the last second,
Mike.
And I'm reading it here, so I'm doing the best I can.
It's tiny.
www.tinyurl.com/HHA event.
God bless you.
How else would you get there, though? How else would you get there?
First off,
if you were going to tell somebody after hearing what I just said.
If that was our copy, I wouldn't have. I would be yelling at the person that gave me the copy, because that's just how we roll here on the show, because you need to give me all the proper information, correct?
Right.
So I would write a story.
Nobody gave me this copy. I went to their website myself. That's
okay.
What website did you go to? Well, that's what you should give the website that you
HelpingHaitianAngels.org.
That's where you go. That's exactly what you would say. That's
it. But it says for tickets, click the link below, and that's on the link that I got. So that's why I assumed
that
I would
get specific.
Yeah, but
if I say go to MikeOMaraShow.com, I wouldn't then give the tiny URL for
let me ask this question. Are either of you bookers coming to this by any
I have a class, and I have an event after
school. I know, you have class. Yeah. Okay, so, Rob, are you planning on popping out?
I
didn't think so. Pony, you going to be out there?
Absolutely.
You going to be stopping by to help the class?
He said
class?
Yes.
No,
he
you're
said
not.
Yes.
No, he's not. He's not coming out.
You got to pay for his ticket.
$75 a plate, for Christ's sake.
Wouldn't it be fun if he was parking cars or something?
Yeah.
Well, he could do that. I'm sure they
Max says he's free.
Mac's not coming. No.
You know, I think if Mac was there, people might start donating money to him. Mm-hmm. Just at the very sight of him.
Why don't we do one better here? Why don't we put the link on our website?
Already on it.
Ah,
very good.
There we go.
Make sure the URL is not so tiny that they can't see it.
A big one. Big URL.
A big URL.
If you, just in case you don't know, Helping Haitian Angels, founded by my friends Bill and Debbie of Haymarket, and it was that they all the way back in 2008, while they were on a mission trip to Cap Haitian, I had the pleasure of going down there. We have a Mike O'Mara Show house that was built with the money raised from
our
listeners,
yes.
And really, really terrific. And anyway, they're really wonderful, and they've got a great new place since I've been down there, which is a huge compound where they've got schools and dorm rooms for these kids. And all you have to do is realize that in the Western Hemisphere, you go to a third world country, and it is a rarity. Believe it or not, that's right. On the other side of the world. But you see it when you go down there, and I truly, truly am delighted to participate. I missed it last year when I was doing all the traveling, but I'm looking forward to getting back down there. So I know it's a heavy way to start Monday, but because we've got lots of stuff going on.
We do.
Lots of stuff when I come down into the D.C. area. I'm very, very excited about this. We've got a meet and greet that's coming up that Wednesday. I've got Rofo's date on Tuesday night that week. I've got the Jimmy Cerrito date with you two guys on Thursday.
Gang date.
And I believe I'm not even sure when the NHL starts in earnest, but I think it's coming up right around the corner, right? Is that the first week? I don't think it's the first week of the season. It might be, though.
Can you
look
it up, Adrian? What does the NHL start?
It's just in October, right? So that would be next week.
Preseason already started.
Preseason's already started.
Okay, but that's not the season. That's the preseason, so it comes before the season.
It's right around the corner.
That's right. Mike, it's so close you can taste it.
It looks seriously to me that the regular season starts that first week, October 7th.
It starts October 7th, the first week.
So that's it. Right. That's going to be, you guys are going to see the team right at the beginning.
I
cool.
can't
be
wait,
very,
man.
Very excited.
I can't wait.
And what game are we going to?
It's actually, I've said before, and Mike, you think you said this before, that the experience at any actual Capitals game for the city is the easiest one, and it's the best one because you can
best
just get in,
experience, yeah.
Get in, get out. You can actually get in early and then leave at 9:30 when the game's over and still have a night to go out.
Right.
Would you boys like to know the game you're going to see?
Sure.
Only the Stanley Cup champion, Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, my God.
Verizon
so cool.
Center. Where MCI Center, where it's called now. What's that? They change it yet?
Yeah, it's called, the Capital Center.
Verizon.
Capital Center. I'm looking forward to
MCI Center.
It's going to be
the Washington Coliseum.
Just remember,
right next to the convention center.
You're getting smart with me right at the beginning of the week, and I tell you, if you get smart with me, I'm coming into the dugout and I'm going to grab your throats.
No, stop it.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Welcome to the grind. Well, can I get started for you?
You don't want anything, do you? I'll have a Trenta, no foam, 5-shot half cap, no foam, pumpkin spice latte with no foam at 210 degrees.
First of all, that's really hot. That's 2 degrees below boiling.
I'm sorry, did I enter a wormhole to a universe where this coffee house does not possess the technology to heat my favorite autumnal tradition to 210 degrees? I like my pumpkin spice lattes extra hot, so please comply with my request.
But extra hot is 170 degrees.
I'm sorry, does your job description entail arguing with your customers, thereby delaying the moment at which they receive the irresistible nutmeggy sweetness of the extra hot, no foam pumpkin spice latte they've been thinking about all day? I mean, God!
Ma'am, what would you like?
She doesn't want anything! She wants you to start making my extra hot, no foam pumpkin spice latte!
Right, one 210 degree Trenta 5-shot, no foam pumpkin spice half calf, no foam latte. For Chanel.
Thank you, coffee donkey. Oh, you burned the milk! Learn to make a pumpkin spice latte, you psychopath. Next time, I get you fired. Or worse. Other barista!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Cool thing about that clip is that Rob just recorded it downstairs, which is amazing.
You know, it's from the show Scream Queens. Did you see it?
No, I have not seen it. I have not seen it.
Worth it for one scene where they plunge a lady's face into hot fryer oil.
Oh, my.
And
oh, dear.
The maid comes out and peels her face back. It was fantastic.
Scream Queens.
Scream Queens on Fox.
Wow, fantastic. Coming to you live from the Cappy Fiverr studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Hey, nuts. You know what our show is brought to you by? Nuts. That's right. Nuts. I'm not kidding you. Nuts.com. Rob's holding up nuts. What kind of nuts you got there, Rob?
By far the greatest salted cashews I've ever had in my life.
Shove a bunch into your mouth, Rob. What the hell? Come on. It's nuts.com.
Yeah,
share them with the whole room. You know? There you go.
I killed my bag. I can't believe his is still around.
Oh, God. I'm going to reach in there and grab them right now.
It's a big bag, too.
Nuts.com, the best tasting nuts on the planet with the convenience of shopping on the internet. Nuts.com is the simple and convenient way to have nutritious, delicious, healthy nuts and other treats from all around the world delivered straight to your door. Now, we're kidding around, but I have to tell you, these are the best. There's no, I have to be honest with you. Before we talk to the good people at nuts.com, I took my nuts for granted. And I will tell you this, that when you
never again, Mike O'Mara, when
you sample the quality of these nuts, you're going to be blown away by how much better the quality is. They've got everything there. They got over 3,000 snacks, dried fruits, sweet treats, cooking and baking goods, plus coffees, teas, sugar-free and gluten-free snacks, and gifts galore. But it's all at nuts.com. Nuts, nuts, nuts.com. Big, salty, sweet, whatever kind you like to munch on. Let them take care of you and your taste buds. Right now, new customers get 4 free samples. Choose from over 50 options. That's a $15 value when you go to nuts.com and use the code TMOS. That's nuts.com and the code TMOS for 4 free samples with your order. Fantastic. We love nuts.com. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday, everybody. It's fall. It was chilly and almost icy up here in Maine one morning.
You had a hard freeze, right?
I guess it was a hard freeze. There was a dew that froze on the deck outside when I took the dogs out. So who let the dogs out? And Frankie, because Frankie's a Chihuahua, did a little dance in the yard where he takes 3 steps onto the lawn, turns around and looks back at me and is basically saying, I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask, Daddy. It's too cold. And I point and I go, back of the yard, creature. Back of the yard, animal. Yeah, but it's great. And then this morning, I think this is a time of year where both between February and March and between September and October, weather gets a little schizo. Okay. Weather's not, we're really getting that change of seasons and it doesn't know what it wants to be. But I am looking forward to making my way back down. You can probably tell. I'm looking forward to getting out of Maine and getting down to see you guys.
It is probably the best time of year to be in the D.C. area that you're actually stopping by. Because we'll have cool evenings and pleasant days.
Well, hopefully. Because last year it was 2 weeks of fall and then it was over.
That's true. Right into the horrible winter. But like the Pope, good weather follows Mike.
Oh, my God, the Pope. How many tears of joy did you guys see from the Pope's visit in D.C.?
We loved it. We loved it.
It was so sweet. My mom cried 10 times in Spanish.
Somebody was saying to me that I didn't do justice when I did Frank Underwood.
Why?
Well, because we were being silly and, we were, that's nothing like the Pope. So I worked on a Pope impression. Ooh. And I just want to get it for you here. And I have to do it a certain way. Okay, hold on.
Because he hit all the beautiful spots. He spent some time in Philadelphia and he spent some time in New York City. And of course, Washington,
I get creeped
DC.
Up by seeing Mark Wahlberg up at that family thing. I just get completely... I mean, that man's career...
I found it much more upsetting that Jim Gaffigan was up there.
Jim Gaffigan, well, he's upsetting in general. I've never been a huge fan. But the thing is, I always think of it, to be a comedian, you separate your religion, just like you separate church and state.
Right.
You separate comedy and state.
Right.
And you separate comedy and religion. I believe that. When you hear he's the most popular... Christian comedian. I'm sorry. I just don't think that. I think you have to divorce yourself from your religious beliefs and consider it a job. Just and then go on stage and do your thing. Okay.
That's I think the fact that Jim Gaffigan is amazingly successful means how low our standards are in America. He's not that funny. He's very safe.
His own talk show, right?
He's got a sitcom now.
A sitcom.
Yeah, it's on, I think, TV Land. It's called The Jim Gaffigan Show.
Okay, I'm going to try this right now. This is my very first legitimate interview. Okay, hold on.
Pray for me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great.
Would you like to hear that again?
I can reply.
All right, here we go.
Pray for me.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I actually walked down to, the Vatican Embassy?
Sure. Yes.
Down the road. He said, well, it's a shame that I live here and I've been watching this on television. I want to go see what it's all about.
Right.
Okay. Well, and I would if I lived where you did. I'd do that in a heartbeat just on the novelty.
Yeah,
of
I went down
there. You're a broadcaster.
You and it was what I thought it was going to be. It was awesome. Like, great energy. All these people camped out. I didn't see the Pope pull up because he was clearly doing the mass down the road. But
right.
It was awesome.
The energy.
It was.
Right?
It was
the
good.
Energy.
Did you talk to anybody there?
No. I just was the stranger on the other side of the road because there's barriers. But just the fact that people
socioeconomic barriers
could walk down there. I thought that it was going to be blocked off to the level of like security everywhere. And there was security. Don't get me wrong. But there wasn't the level of you can't walk down the street in your own neighborhood type of deal.
You know, Oscar, I junked out on the Sunday news shows. And when you are looking at the parade of a-holes, I mean, we can start with Donald Trump. We can work our way through Hillary Clinton. We can get to Vladimir Putin. And you're watching this. I think the Pope is kind of a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
And by the way, everybody thinks of me as the tree-hugging liberal that I am. But I will tell you, as a Democrat, Hillary, those interviews might as well be hamina, 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 hamina.
That's right.
I mean, if it's nothing, why are you coming out and just going, well, I mean,
and there might be more,
so
and I don't know.
Shifty. But I mean, but what is it? It's nothing, but because of the way you're handling yourself, even if it's really nothing, it's going to be something.
Say it's something now.
Right.
And
yes.
Get it over with.
Because it's
going
to come out.
Ridiculous.
It's going to come out. And I love this morning. I saw Bill Clinton.
She pisses me off.
Bill Clinton was asked about it, and he says, frankly, I think she's handling it rather well.
Yeah. I don't know.
That man's like,
I haven't
seen her cankles in 20 years.
You're taking the lead at halftime that was 4 touchdowns, and you're coming out and sitting on your hands in the second half. And I'm watching this going, what is she doing? Why, if this is nothing, why do you appear so shifty?
Yeah,
it's everything they say she is.
Right,
and I'm totally confused by it. At the same time, you watch Vladimir Putin on 60 Minutes last night, and if he is not a villain from the James Bond tradition,
you're right.
I don't believe anything. He's sitting there with Charlie Rose, who, by the way, looked like he wanted to nibble on his ear. It was a great interview. Don't get me wrong, but he was intrigued, though. It was just, and you hear the translator, and you get those smiles that are like, have him killed. Have him killed and brought down to dungeon
now,
right after.
If you were running that interview, wouldn't you have chosen a more dastardly voice for the translator? The translator sounded much too pleasant to me.
Don't you think a guy like that knows English and he just has more time to process the question?
Probably. I think that
he's probably
a smart enough guy. He's been in the KGB, so I think he's probably multilingual.
I sat there and I was watching 60 Minutes and I said,
right.
He's just processing the question.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He's got an extra 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Who wouldn't want that if you're on 60 Minutes?
It's like a
we'll
game.
Take it.
It's like an extra point. It's extra credit in the game. It's perfect.
You know, I have said this for years. I adhere to the George S. Patton theory of the Russian Empire. You know, I believe once the enemy, always the enemy.
Sure.
And I do not trust them at all. And you looked at him, and he's just sitting there. He has that. He's a dictator. You know,
sure.
He's been there for – I realize they're supposed to be a democracy now, and he's been there for 15 years.
It's a great democracy, by the way.
They the said that one of the best. There have been some, they didn't call them dictators. What is czars?
Yeah, the czar.
They had,
czar,
so they had some czars. The czar. I think the longest tenure. More than some of the longest tenured czars that they've had.
More than
right?
some of the longest tenured czars that he has
like
been in.
Like Stalin,
this.
People.
Yeah.
And Charlie Rose would ask him. And by the way, Charlie Rose, say what you will about the fact that he kind of looks like a basset hound now, but the fact is, Charlie Rose, in my opinion, that's a qualified individual to
absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely.
That is a guy that came ready to play, was ready to go. But at the same time, he'd ask Putin these questions, and then Putin's looking at Charlie Rose like, you know I lied to your face.
You know,
until they got him on the Ukrainians being set up to do what they were doing by deposing their president by the U.S. government, and he did a shopping list of all the intel that they know. We know this. Can you imagine what it's like to be in a room with that guy? I know that you drove to this place on Saturday night. I know you met with other operatives. I know this. This, no, I know. I have conversations recorded for you. I am in the, you know, that guy. I think Vladimir Putin is one of the scariest guys on the international stage because he looks so together, but you know that he is evil incarnate.
Oh, my God. And his baseline, he started as a KGB guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And it's not
scary
like
guys.
You can unlearn that.
Smart That's guy, there. Scary guy.
On the
Very
flip
scary.
Side, you've got Trump on stage. Same episode, right?
And I think, what do you think about
that? I like Trump. I don't think he should be president, but I like the fact that he's such an egomaniac that he has every picture of him on the cover of a magazine up on his wall, and I never knew that.
And in the old days,
I'm
Oscar,
on more
I was,
than supermodels.
I was watching that, and by the way, kudos to 60 Minutes, the old 60 Minute show where we're all talking about it today because a lot of people are. The fact is, in previous interviews, if this was brand new Trump, that would have been it. That would have been all you needed to see were the magazines on multiple copies of the magazines on his desk. So people that come into his office for a business meeting, hey, by the way, take that copy of Time magazine. Will you please grab a copy of that?
I bought a lot of them in case you want one. I can afford it.
And it was virtually glossed over. It was not you didn't realize that perhaps a narcissist of this level could be dangerous for the United States. That's gone. That is no longer part of broadcast journalism when Scott Pelley talks to Trump. Yeah, Scott, you know, Charlie Rose did a pretty tough interview with Vladimir Putin. You pretended to do a tough interview with Donald Trump because you didn't. I'm watching this and I'm looking at that wall. Seriously. Look at that. Well, walk into that office and go, would you think that somebody was mentally stable if you went into it? And I'll even give him the 5 million pictures of him on the wall, but the magazine sitting on the desk.
Stacked.
Yeah.
It's
like
it's
if it
terrifying.
Was a bodega on the corner of the street that you had to pick up some magazines. Like he probably has more copies of his own magazines than some bodegas on the corner of New York City.
It's astonishing to me. And it's also terrifying to me. It's terrifying to me.
Maybe if he opened his desk, Trump would also be selling candy bars and pens.
That's a good call, probably.
Could be.
Let me add this just quickly. When he talked about his kids and how he told his kids that they could have anything they wanted only if they did not drink or smoke.
Now, see, that to me
that was interesting, and I respected that.
I did too.
Because he had a brother who died of alcoholism.
And you know what? And it was something where you kind of look at that and go, okay, that's kind of cool. The fact that he didn't, when you look at that face, doesn't that look like the face of a late-stage Irish alcoholic? It does to me when you see that with his puffy eyes.
He said he doesn't drink, though.
He doesn't drink, and I believe him. I believe him. But it just...
it's all the newspaper ink.
I was talking to a buddy of mine last night, my attorney buddy, and I was saying to him, that did not put no backward steps for him in
no
that
damage.
60 Minutes interview. No. That legitimized him even further, and that's what's terrifying to me. It's very, very, we're going to wake up. We're going to wake up, and it's going to be the reality. And, you know, for all of those that might not be Trump people that are chuckling and laughing, you better get serious because this could happen. And I think the guy's extremely scary when you look at that office. I think it's very, very scary.
They
you know
really,
I mean?
They need to emphasize the fact that he is as crazy as he appears to be, because I'm going to go back to what we said.
I don't think he's crazy, Rob. I have to interrupt you there.
Okay, crazy.
I don't think he's crazy. You
know, crazy in quotation marks. Okay,
right.
Just unbalanced, perhaps misplaced priorities, perhaps. But what
I think he's not a good guy. I think he's a. I think his track record. There was an article in either the New York Times or the Boston Globe this particular weekend that really went into great detail about his life in Atlantic City and what he did in Atlantic City and how he, you know, got out of there and the bankruptcies. And, you know, he can gloss over the fact that he filed for bankruptcy multiple times in Atlantic City by saying, I used the system to my advantage. Well, that's all well and good, but you're talking about lives and creditors,
right,
and plumbers and people down in Atlantic City that were not paid when you did that. And, you know, I mean, he didn't do anything. Instead of trying to help the situation, which you would think somebody who wanted a political career might be inclined to do, he went, F you, I'm out of here.
Time to go.
That's it.
Well,
time
he didn't
to roll.
Want a political career. Mike, then. He just wanted to be a he only started wanting to be president a year ago.
I was curious about Dr. Ben Carson and what he would have thought about this entire thing, but he wasn't on 60 Minutes.
No, they didn't have him. Mm.
You know, he would have closed his eyes. Mm. He would have thought, and he would have said, I don't think it was necessarily judicious to leave Atlantic City the way he did.
Thank you,
Dr. Carson.
Thank
you.
Can you imagine editing him for audio?
No.
We're going to take a small break on the Michael Mara show, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to perform surgery on Mac's brain.
Oh, no.
Thank you. We'll be right back on the Michael Mara show.
Hey, Sanjeev, what are you doing? Can you hear me?
Oh, very, very sorry. I am listening to Open Mic from corporate radio to new media. It's the story of the Mike O'Meara show.
Isn't that the book you got me for my birthday? After I got the TMOS up, right? It was fantastic.
You are very right. You've read it, but you have not heard it. You will hear all the stories told by people who live them. Plus, there are surprises, expanded content, audio treats, and guest stars. For example, that news guy,
Richard Parker.
Oh, sorry, I mean Tony Perkins. It is absolutely fantastic.
Really? I am wanting to have it like right now. Please make me a copy, Sanjeev.
No, you must support the show.
Okay.
You can buy it on iTunes, Amazon, and a Google Play Store.
I will get it immediately.
Download the Open Mic audiobook today.
Wow. Wow. That's put that guy on the payroll.
Solid
work.
Mike Brunner who sent that along. Thank you, Mike.
That is, you know, I always thought I did a fairly decent Indian accent. That's pretty fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Stop the presses. The Mike O'Meara Show. Mad Fox meet and greet, everybody. Yes, sir. Wednesday, October 14th, right here in the nation's capital, the entire TMOS crew will be at the Mad Fox Brewing Company's Glover Park Tap Room. Mrs. O'Meara and my mother-in-law are attending.
Oh, that's great.
Nice. Yes, they'll be coming into town. Isn't that great? It's Mike, Oscar, Rob, and all the rest meeting, greeting, and having a ball. Don't miss it. From 6 p.m. till 9 p.m., come spend some time and have a brew or two with your favorite podcast buddies. You can get the address and directions at madfoxbrewing.com or write this down, 2218 Wisconsin Avenue Northwest. Got it? Good. Remember, Wednesday, October 14th, 6 p.m., we'll see you at the Mad Fox Brewing Company's Glover Park Tap Room for the happiest hour you've ever experienced. Come thirsty, leave thirsty.
No.
Happy.
Huh? Happy.
Come thirsty, leave happy.
With Mrs. coming, Mike, is there no after party?
There is no after party. Thank you. And stop. Oscar has a systematic campaign to get me into as much trouble as is humanly possible. And I have to, there's nothing I can do to stop it. He is continuing it, and he will do it until I am on the road to Florida. Probably alone, the way he is.
It's going to be fine because you're going to stay strong.
Yeah, I am going to stay strong. Well, of course I'm going to stay strong. It's a busy week. There's a lot going on. I have to pace myself. That's all there is to it. And I know the danger of those IPAs. I have a refrigerator currently that is absolutely chock-a-block with pumpkin beverages. I load it. Why do you go puh?
I don't like the pumpkin taste in a beer. I just don't like it. I love beer. Love beer. But the pumpkin beers, I don't know.
Oh, that's another one of your things that you just don't like change. Come on.
Change I love. Quarters,
I would think
dimes.
You would
this,
love
it. This season's pumpkin, you might like. It actually tastes more like beer than it does pumpkin.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
So,
really?
So you mean the big, like, what are they? Are they 16-ounce bottles? Is that what they are?
Well,
are
they actually 16? Now, they've evolved, and they have all...
What was with that gesture?
No, they've evolved. Mike, as far as beers go, some craft beers you can only get the big cartoon size bottle, right?
Yeah, like a pint.
That's
bottle.
What I have. Two pumpkins in my refrigerator right now.
But here, at least in the DC area, you can get them in the six packs now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I just had one. I want to say 3 days ago in a six pack. Pretty impressive.
Nice. You know, pumpkin, and I think I got it from you, Oscar. Pumpkin was the first of those kind of brews that I really tried a long, long time ago.
It was
and
the
I
breakout sort of, pumpkin brew, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
I've eased into this whole IPA, craft brew, and then came up here, you know, and you heard the whole thing about Smiling Irish Bastard.
Sure.
So I have Shipyard Pumpkin Ale that is in my refrigerator, and then I have two of the giant bottles of pumpkin. And because a lot of people say fall is the time for the harvest and apples. Fall to me has always represented just a time to kick your drinking into a little overdrive. That's the way I look at it. And that is why coming back, I'll tell you the whole story of going down to see my 95-year-old mother down at the home. But returning from Boston up here to Maine, you pass what you boys have seen as well. We've stopped there, the New Hampshire State Liquor Store.
Yes.
And
it's a warehouse of liquor.
Right.
And, it is. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Cartoon-sized.
Didn't play the proper sound effect. The New Hampshire State Liquor Store.
It's like a Costco just for liquor and beer.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
It's a giant place. They sell lottery tickets and liquor and wine, too. Lots of wine. And boy, were there some excited New England ladies the morning I was driving back into Maine.
Why were they excited?
Because they were getting their booze for their weekend.
Oh, I see.
I returned on a Friday at about, it wasn't the morning, it was probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I drove through there, and no, it was the morning. It was probably, I want to say, 10 o'clock in the morning, and 10:30, and you hear these ladies going, Peggy, over here, we want that. It said, do you want that?
Hey.
Get the Jose Cuervo. Get the Jose Cuervo. The Jose Cuervo's over here. And I just, you know, it's 10:30, and I really just want to say, is there a chance you could just shut up? I know you're excited.
Jose Cuervo.
Jose Cuervo. Who has lines?
Maggie, do you want Chardonnay?
Oh, God.
Do you want the Chardonnay? Yeah. All right. No, we're not. We've got plenty of vodka. Yes,
oh,
and Midge is going to get Chardonnay. And they're just four of them. It's obviously a girls' alcoholic weekend, and they're squawking. I'm kind of casually walking around, seeing what strikes me as interesting, looking for probably a buy on a bottle of decent wine, and really wasn't all that thrilled with the wine prices. I think I'm maybe in the wrong place for wine.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm looking there, and finally I see in the corner, I see an old friend of mine, an Irish whiskey that I did not know that they sold in the United States with a very derogatory Irish term on the label. It's called Paddy. P-A-D-D-Y, Paddy Irish Whiskey. And I remember way back in the day, there was a Irish lady that we had befriended, Miranda, because my daughter Elizabeth was a friend of her daughter's. And Miranda came back from a trip to Ireland and brought me a bottle of Paddy Irish Whiskey. And there was another guy out on the patio, and we pretty much killed three quarters of the bottle, and I was just devastated the next day.
How does it measure up against the Jamesons?
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, love it.
I love it. But the best part of this is that it was cheaper. Yeah, like super cheaper. Like the Jameson's was. Yeah, I think the Jameson's was like $27, and this Patty they were selling for $19 a bottle. So I got me two. And
is there now a Shamrock
now? Pony,
on the cover?
Pony, incidentally, I speak Pony. So when Pony goes, let me translate. When Pony goes, that means that Pony thinks that perhaps I'm purchasing something that might be, made in a bathtub. That's dangerous.
Well, $19 for whiskey is going to be a little. Yeah, I'm going to be skeptical.
Slow rant.
You know what? Some whiskeys you can get at a good price, like Canadian Hunter.
Canadian Hunter, is that a real whiskey?
Mike, if you're not so proud that you can drink whiskey out of plastic, Canadian Hunter is just fine.
You know, my mom drinks her Smirnoff. That's what she's still 95 years old, and she drinks her Smirnoff.
There you go.
She not enjoys bad. That. But this is Patty. I'm not sure. I didn't check the.
You didn't answer, Mike. Is there a leprechaun or a shamrock on the label?
No, it's just it's a normal little. I'll
but it is sort of a derogatory phrase. Isn't
Why
it?
Is it derogatory?
Patty is sort of like a.
What about the paddy wagon?
Well, I believe that's derogatory. Also derogatory.
Oh,
too,
I'll stop saying it.
The paddy wagon. Try an experiment here. I'm as opposed to delaying the show, which would mean going downstairs and retrieving this. I'm going to text Mrs. O'Mara and see if she is on the case.
This
here.
Cannot go well.
Let's see what happens. Talk amongst yourselves.
So paddy wagon.
Yeah, paddy wagon is sort of indicating that they would run around and pick up all the drunks and take them into jail.
What's a paddy?
Well, because the paddy would be the Irish people that they picked up and put them in jail.
Very about, derogatory,
about,
right, Rob?
Yeah, what about is. Peppermint paddy?
That's P-A-T-T-Y. Oh. Yes. Or paddy, either the Peanuts character or the candy. Both delicious.
Mm-hmm. Patty.
Patty.
Patty. It's a narrower bottle. I'm not sure whether there's less booze in it, which is, might have been the reason it was. They wouldn't do that, would they?
No, standard sized.
But I it's mean, a. But
well,
I,
it's cheaper
you,
in New Hampshire. You have to give you that. So it is cheaper.
It's cheaper. And I think it's new to the United States. I think. I'm not sure. I remember her saying you couldn't get it over here commonly. You couldn't find
How
it.
How many years ago was that?
Boy. Probably four years ago, okay. I think, something like that. You know, we were.
Yeah, I got a 1 liter bottle at $29.99, and you can get the 750 milliliters at $22.99.
Oh, I probably got the 750.
Yeah.
And what's the 750 for Jameson's? Just out of curiosity,
I'll give you that in 2 seconds.
Thank you, Mrs. O'Mara. The experiment worked. There it is,
Yay.
Boys.
Oh,
there it
Patty
is, Patty.
Irish
Let me read it to you. Blended with perfection. For many years in oak casks, Paddy is a soft and mellow whiskey with a sweet, malty finish, matured in oak in Ireland. There it is. And the Paddy, it's the Paddy Flaherty brand.
Of course.
I want you to go over there. With a rich heritage dating back to 1779, Paddy owes its name to the legendary distillery salesman, Paddy Flaherty, famed throughout
it's
his
named after a salesman?
Yes, it is. Yes.
That's good. Here's David Heinlein Whiskey. Why would they name it? You would name the whiskey after the guy who brewed it or came up with the mix, not the guy
Let
who
me tell
sold
you.
It.
When I'm relaxing with friends, nothing I like over ice better than a glass of Steve Johnson vodka. Yeah, they're all going to come out now, people. Oh, my God.
Delicious Allen Line Wand wine.
Honey, where did you put the bottle of the McWilliams wine? Let's see here. Let me see. Okay.
2010, Mike. 2010, February 2010. 2010, they came to the States. So
okay.
You're good to go.
Very good. But so when
this
you
is,
got it, it
this
really
is the 750, so I got the smaller bottle.
But when you really started and found out about it, it really was native to Ireland. So it is a big deal. And it's tasty and it's better. Is it better or as good?
Paddy Flaherty was famed throughout his native county Cork for buying rounds of his favorite tipple. That's what it says.
Well, a tippler is someone who drinks, so I guess tipple would be a liquor.
He became so synonymous with the whiskey he sold that in 1913, the distillery owners paid him the ultimate tribute by renaming the whiskey Paddy in his honor. That's a fantastic story, isn't it?
It is good.
I'd love to have my own Irish whiskey.
Mike's?
I really would.
Well, Mike's is a hard lemonade. You can't have
O'Mara's.
That.
Mm-hmm. O'Mara's Irish
Well, there
whiskey.
Is O-M.
But see, they've got the... Are you okay there, pal?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Are you okay? Get the paddles.
It's fall. Rob's got another lung infection. So let me see. Patty in his honor. Made from a unique blend of pot still malt. And then they talk about the whiskey. But
there is a fake, right, like a fake Bailey's called O'Mara's, right?
Yeah. So that might be a conflict.
Mike,
I'm not sure. Yes.
According to underthelabel.com, they compared Jameson's to Patty's Irish whiskey.
Yes.
And both of them received a score, and this is respectively, Jameson's received a score of 73, and Patty's received a score of 74.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
It gets very, very well reviewed. And look at the way they've got it in the glass.
I eat my words.
It's Patty right there. There
Pony's
you go.
Eating Absolutely. His words.
Mm-hmm. You ought to pick yourself up a bottle, Pony. Yeah. It's cheap. You'd enjoy that. So
he
I think
likes
you'll,
the clear liquors, Mike. he's more of a gin guy, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I know.
Hey, I like some good whiskey, too.
I know. I went to your house that one time, and I saw that giant atomizer bottle of Libby Hughley gin that you had up there. We'll take a break, everybody, and come back with more fun and more thrills. We'll talk to Rob going to the Comic-Con convention right here on the Mike O'Bara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Every night you go to sleep, right?
I hope you do.
Whoa. Do you really know how well you're sleeping? Listen up. New Sleep Number research shows that people with Sleep Number beds who use Sleep IQ technology experienced improved sleep quality and their time in bed was more restful. We're excited about Sleep Number because we're having a wonderful interview with a representative from Sleep Number who's a sleep expert. And we're going to try to make that interview available for everybody so that you can find out more about sleep. You'll know everything you need to know about sleep and Sleep Number beds. Now all Sleep Number beds are available with Sleep IQ technology, so you can experience the best sleep of your life, and you can prove it. The Sleep Number bed lets me choose my ideal firmness, and I can even change as often as I want. Plus, it adjusts on each side, so it's the perfect bed for couples. With the optional Sleep IQ technology, it also tracks your sleep, so you know how to adjust for your best possible night's sleep. So, whether it's making adjustments to the comfort of your bed by changing your Sleep Number setting, or making different lifestyle choices, you know what's working because Sleep IQ tells you. Come in and discover the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology, starting at just $1,099.98. No better sleep. Sleep Number beds and Sleep IQ technology only available at any of the 475 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to wink and put a finger on the side of your nose and smile mysteriously and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you.
Secret handshake time. It's important.
Yes, yes. So welcome back to the show. Rob, I sometimes don't keep total tabs on you and find out where you're going. You didn't promote this on the show. At least I didn't think you did.
We did on Friday's show.
We did.
We mentioned
it
on
Friday's show.
Yeah, we were going to actually talk about it until Oscar decided he needed a Chinese suit mule, and we got displaced. So we just said we'd talk about it today. It is the Baltimore Comic-Con. Now, this is not as big as, say, the San Diego Comic-Con or the New York Comic-Con, but I had never been to one of these conventions. And so for a few years, one of the organizers is a great guy. His name is Bradford Tree. Brad has invited me to come up to judge the costume contest.
Let me ask this.
Yes.
When you say he's a great guy, how great is he?
Well, you know what? In the
question, Mike.
In the here and now, not great, but in the past.
So he didn't get anything. Okay. All right. That's how I asked those questions. Did you get any?
If you'd let me answer, you'd like this. There was no stipend for the day, but in the past, Brad was one of the guys who bought our Diamond Jubilee whore package at the State
isn't
Theater.
That sweet.
So massive fan. Yeah. And so
that's nice.
I had nothing else going on, and I found out that Julia's friend Bella and her dad were headed up anyway. I said,
Can
you get me and some friends in? And he said, absolutely. So as far as cash remuneration, no.
You just asked him for free tickets.
But tickets to get in, yeah. And so that was pretty good.
Is this something that you have ever had any interest in attending?
Very curious about it. Because you see the big ones, like the New York and L.A. and San Diego, you look and there's a lot of famous people there. And there's just a lot of people in costumes. And it looks like it's really something to see.
If he had asked me, my answer would have been along the lines of, oh, I would love to, but unfortunately, I'm going down to Jersey Mike's this weekend to put my hand into the slicer to actually have my digit sliced off very slowly, so I won't be able to make it. Thank you very much.
That's the excuse I used last year to get out of it. So
I think it would be. I've been to one Comic Con, and it was in Arizona, and it was a smaller one, even smaller than Baltimore's.
Right.
And it's, you know, for not being my thing, it kind of was my thing.
It was
awesome.
Well, that has answered one question that I was going to ask you then, Rob. So I was going to say, what is the DA factor at Comic Con?
Dumbass.
Dadass.
Oh, dadass. Oh. There was quite a bit of dadass
there. Yeah, because there's a lot of women dressed up in cosplay.
Yeah, you know what it is? You know, they love the sexy zombie is a big deal this year.
So with the women that are dressed up, are they on the other side of the booths? Or are they...
No, they wander around. They wander around. But then to be fair, on the other side of dadass, there's also dadass. Because there are people that, when they get dressed up in their cosplay outfits... They don't seem to have any sort of, I don't want to use the word shame, but
so you got a lot of fat people in these outfits?
Fat people, skinny people, kids who climb on rocks. There was all shapes, all sizes dressed up.
How was the odor? Was there an odor there?
No appreciable odor. This surprised me greatly.
Baltimore?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it smelled like Baltimore. The whole place smelled like old.
I would think
Bay.
That you'd get a lot of smell of BO from old costumes that haven't been properly laundered.
If you think about it, I would have felt the same way, I would say, 10 years ago, Mike, about a Comic-Con.
Right.
But it's such a big industry now,
it's
especially
huge.
With these movies.
It's huge.
And it's got such a different movement. Really, because of what the resurgence of not just the comics but the franchises overall.
Oh my God! But it's part of our pop culture now, like it's never been.
So
right? I mean, it's
incredible. The guy from The Simpsons, the comic book guy, isn't.
Yes.
I mean, there's always gonna be that guy there, but he isn't really the guy anymore.
No. Right? I would say the average guy was like a looking like a pretty well put together 20 something.
Oh, now I'm looking at pictures here. Wow.
Yeah.
There is a lot.
We've lost them.
Oh, they're oh, wait a minute. There are lots of women in like cute outfits.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Outside of the women, there's some pretty damn cool toys that they're selling as well.
Yeah, it's half, you know what it is? It's half Renaissance Festival, half flea market.
Yeah.
Because the main floor in the basement is all booths and people selling stuff. And I did find out the going rate, if you want to get your picture taken with Edward James Olmos. And I saw him
there.
He was there.
American Me?
Yes. $50.
What is his comic book movie? What is the...
I don't think you have to be in comics to be at a Comic-Con.
Just have to be a TV star?
I think we could be there broadcasting.
Yeah, I think if you have any sort of, you know, your finger in pulp culture.
Any fame whatsoever.
The two big stars that were signing and doing photographs were Edward James Olmos and Ming-Na Wen. Who was the voice of Mulan?
Oh,
and a nice
whoa.
Piece of you know,
yes.
Asian trim. Yeah. Hey, I saw him.
Did you see this guy?
I've seen him. Yeah.
What the F is it? Is he dressed as Tarzan?
I don't know. There
guy's
was
in good shape.
There
for his
was
age.
A lot of people that were just walking around in like small gold pants. And I don't know what their deal was.
Well, the Brony convention is it the same
so
time there?
Gross.
Well, there was a lot of My Little Pony stuff.
Okay.
And so I think they all. This seems
I think
to
it might be
like
a alcove for those guys.
Yeah.
Here's the question that I don't think you answered.
The fourth
though.
Floor.
The what? Women that are like dressed as like the hotties walking around.
Yes.
The, they're usually selling something, even if they're walking around,
no,
right?
No.
They're not
no.
just there.
They just want to be. It's an excuse for them to get dressed up hot. And by the way. Who wouldn't want to be dressed up hot in those outfits and then walk around a convention center like that if you really want attention?
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay, I'm with you.
Exactly.
I'm totally
yeah.
with you, Oscar.
It's,
I get it. That's
because, you know, Baltimore is a foreign city to me. I don't know it very well. And so when I drove up there, and it was me and my son Robert and my friend Doug and his daughter Bella.
Yeah.
And we went up and we started.
Because you're a Northern Virginia, like, bigot for
Why
Baltimore.
Why are you turning this into something
like
And
bad.
I'm not talking
Canada.
About black-white. I'm talking about you have always said amazingly derogatory things about the state of Maryland because Virginia is so much better.
You're really looking for trouble? What is it?
I'm not looking for trouble. You got a cold. You
nice.
Got a cold,
it's
so don't
true.
Be sensitive.
Say something
yeah,
nice
something
about
sensitive.
Baltimore. Is that right. We're driving around, and as we like get off and we are driving by, say, the M&T Stadium, and we're getting close to the area
yes.
where the convention center is.
If I felt like that, I'd live in Maryland.
Outside of the riots.
If I wanted to have that kind of traffic, I'd live in Maryland.
So,
even though it's exactly the same as
you start driving around and you start seeing, like, first I see a kid that's with his dad and he's dressed up as like Robin from
cool.
Batman.
Hey,
yeah. So,
did you see
nice.
This lady? Can I just hold this picture
sure.
up? Did you see this lady, the lady in the red outfit?
Were
their belly button exposed?
Yes, I did see her. She was in the costume contest, I believe.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
Ah,
so
go.
And so
Mike's all in.
Then as you get closer, you just start seeing everywhere mm-hmm. you turn is someone dressed as the Joker.
Yeah.
And then they're just walking
up
the street.
Yeah,
because they're coming to the convention center.
I haven't been to that Comic-Con, but I've been in the city when that's happening, and it's fun.
It is fun.
Uh-huh.
And it's really wild to see it happen. Now, I didn't...
You know, that's the word. I guess it is fun, Rob, right? I mean, it's just innocent fun.
It was fun. Now, the thing that was I made a horrible error is when we finally parked, I used Waze to figure out the best way to go to the convention center because I didn't know where I was. Keep this in mind. I speak a lot of good things about the Waze
app. Was Kevin Smith there?
Kevin Smith was not there.
So see a picture of him here. I don't know if it's the Baltimore.
They have it every year.
But Waze is a driving app, so it told me to walk to the convention center observing one-way streets.
No.
I walked 1.7 miles to go 0.3 miles.
Oh, my
So
God.
Don't ever use
you
Waze
Rube.
To walk. I was a Rube. I was an absolute
You were using
Rube.
Waze to walk?
Yeah, I didn't know the best way to get to the convention center.
Because he's a Rube.
Because I didn't know where I was.
This is a word of advice to everybody.
Right.
Right? The GPS isn't always right,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're walking. My best plan of action, and I've been here as well. So
he was there. Kevin Smith was there in 2013.
Thank you,
Mike. Okay, there you are.
So you just have to look at the building you're at and then see the street or the sidewalk that leads you there.
I wish you had told me this on Saturday morning.
That blue line and blue dot is going to take you the legal way to go.
Well, what it was telling me to walk like I was in a car.
Yes.
Because of all the one-way streets.
Yeah.
What made me realize this is at one point is because I walk much slower than I drive. Most people do. Waze put up an alert and said, "Are you in a lot of traffic?"
Oh, my God. Poor man.
I would imagine it was fun though, just to walk around. I mean, I'm looking at that.
It was.
I wouldn't. It wouldn't be my cup of tea, but I wouldn't mind going to. You know, if I had to. I mean, it's interesting to see. You know.
So we got in there, and really, it is thick with people in costumes, and I'm talking about costumes. There are 8-foot robots from the Transformers.
Cool.
There is motorized robots. There are a lot of hot women. There's a lot of large women. And everyone is in a.
You know, can I say this? And I want to say this delicately. I want to say this without offending anyone. All
right.
I just. This is my. Yeah. I'm looking at a lot of these costume pictures here that have the women there. There are women that are fine looking women.
They
might
really
not be model skinny, but they're in their costumes and they look like they're having fun. And God bless them. That's exactly what I was going to say. God bless them all. They look just fine. They look like a big bowl of okay.
And
if you're going with your kid, why not have a little eye candy? You don't
sure,
model, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Why not? I'd go. I might get them on comic books.
So my job was to judge the costume contest, which is, from what I understand, one of the highlights.
Big deal.
Of Saturday.
What was on the line?
It was.
By
I
the
think,
way, my son
was first prize.
$1,000.
I believe so. Yeah.
You see, that's what got him out there.
Damn.
I was just going to say, my son, though, if he continues his propensity for particular television comics, tunes that he likes, tunes. I'm going to have him live with T.O. Oscar because the fact that he watches two exclusively now. All he watches Dora the Explorer and Go Diego Go.
Nice.
That is all.
He's going to start dating a Latin chick.
Uh-huh.
You know what, Mike? Awesome. I went through that phase
it's okay with
Robin.
Daddy.
There you go.
Yes.
And if you're lucky, only if you're lucky, you'll get to go see Go Diego Go live, which is hell of a stage show.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I took Robert to see it at the Warner Theater. It's terrific.
Go Diego. I'd never be able to live up to your, pop culture.
Oh, I think you could probably buy a ticket.
How much did you ever, if you added up how much you've spent on tickets to events that you've gone to with your children, it would be in the tens of thousands of dollars.
I'm sure.
It would be. I don't think I can.
He's a good man.
But you know what?
One less hockey game, Mike.
And there wasn't any. It didn't cost anything to get into Comic-Con. So that's where you save the money.
Yeah.
He's trading his
time for tickets.
So
that's good.
The costume contest is a big deal, and I had to check in at like 12:30. We got there at like 11.
Yeah. Who was judging?
It was me, our staff.
Mickey Coachella.
No, it was I met Joanna Campbell, Joe from Mix 106.5 in Baltimore. She was very nice and a friendly face, so I liked dealing with her.
That must have been she must have been sobered up then. I don't even know who you're talking about. I'm just giving her a hard time.
And then, and a guy who runs a comic book store, I believe, and then another lady who was like a burlesque performer.
Okay.
Well,
so it was four judges.
There was four judges. And
what did the lady who was the burlesque performer look like?
She was dressed in very, very tight leather, and she was not a bad-looking lady.
Who was the celebrity she most resembled?
You know, it's hard to say with someone in all that tight leather, but she had sort of a Morticia vibe, but a hot Morticia vibe. You know what
I mean? I get it. Yeah.
And so I thought that when we were going to judge, and it was promised to me, and this was so great, he said, Brad said, now I'm familiar with the show. I'm not going to put you in a French fry situation where they're going to know who judged what and they're going to chase you. And I said, because of
glad that he remembers that story of the worst costume contest that Don and I ever did.
And I said, okay, that's a deal. So I thought what would happen is we would be, say, at a table and then they'd parade in front of us, right?
Nude.
Not the case. I had the pleasure of all 60 groups and all 51 male amateur contestants. I got to interview them one-on-one in a line and ask them about their
costumes. Whoa. What did you just say? How many people did you have to interview?
51 men and 60 groups. And it
Oh my God. The guy boned you and he went up there for free?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm sure he's a good guy. He's got to buy 10 more Jubilee packages for that, for God's sakes. What was your total time commitment for that? That had to be in the hours.
We got up there, say, 10:30 or so, and I think we left at a little before 5. But most of that
Oh, my God, you're out of your mind.
A lot of that was time just walking around the place.
Way to raise the bar,
Rob. Rob really likes talking to people.
I did at the beginning. But how many times can you say, so who are you? What did you make? What did you buy? What did you modify?
Crash course in comics.
So
you went up to walked around. I thought you walked around and said, hey, this was fun. Let's get in the car and go. What was your total time commitment sitting at the table?
For the contest, it was probably 1:30 till 4:30. Probably about 3 hours during the contest.
That's kind of crucial.
Oh, my God.
I'm a nice guy, and that's... That's not like
Jeez, did you get it? Did they give you any booze?
No, there was no booze.
Oh, wow.
But as I said, as we left, I said, this is really quite something. Thank you for having me. And I'm glad I've seen it. And I don't think I ever need to see it again.
That's a long time, Rob. That's a lot of commitment.
But you know what? It was something I kind of wanted to be a part of as far as seeing it. I was shocked at how much of Comic-Con, from what you see on Facebook and the world of social media, how much of it is really just a flea market? It's people selling stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the other half is people just walking around and having people look at them. And what I love is this, is the people like me and Robert that are just, normal folks, we're not in costume or anything, and they see someone who's in a pretty sensational outfit, and you go up to them and you say, I didn't do this, but I saw several examples of this. Could I get a picture of you in your costume? And they go, of course. And right away they go into a pose. Shooting a gun.
That is fun.
And it is so great
to
see.
That's cool.
Especially when you see like a whole bunch of them together and they have like a choreographed group pose they do. And we saw that several times.
When you got up there in the morning, did you anticipate you'd be leaving at midnight?
No, I did not anticipate a midnight departure.
Did the kids have fun at least?
Robert had a blast. As a matter of fact, Robert was with me talking to all the costume contestants.
Oh, Robert must have loved
and
that.
And Robert was out of his mind.
That's good. He really liked doing that. He liked sitting with Dad and doing that all day.
Yeah, he did.
That's good. That's a good thing.
Did he ask questions about certain sexy costumes?
You know what?
Because he's probably going through that stage in life.
He didn't ask anything about sexy
costumes. I didn't know underwear was that color, Dad.
Didn't ask anything about that. But I think,
what's that around her nipple?
I think we're very close to that. We didn't get
to
it.
Was he like shy and like weird, like shuffled his feet?
Yeah, when we got to the sexy costumes, I mostly had to handle the questions.
Was he quiet?
When you deal with that many people, my question to you would be, did anybody try to flirt with you because you were a judge?
Great question. Yes.
Because you had that many people,
There was none of that. What I got more of than flirting was, actually, I'm not surprised you don't recognize my costume because it's a character that I invented.
Oh, so that stuff? Man.
I love that.
Let me ask one other question since this is like pulling teeth with you.
What?
It's always so hard with it because I'm trying to get this information out of you.
And okay.
Was there at any point, was there anyone that... That came through your line? You interviewed how many total people?
There was 60 groups and 50 individuals. So I conducted over 100 interviews.
Oh, my God. During this entire time, was there anybody that came across your desk that you wanted to look at and go, how bad do you want it?
Yeah, actually, yeah. And the weird thing is she had clear, she had white contact lenses.
Oh,
so she had no, she had no pupils in her eyes.
Yeah. I like that. She had the little kitty cat eyes. Kitty cat.
And you know what? Right. Although I did not get to third base with her, she did win a prize, which is good.
Did they buy you? Did they buy you lunch?
No, they did not buy me lunch.
They got boned.
Boned sideways.
Wow. All right. No, all right.
They're a good
at least you're, at least you had a good time. Yeah, and you can handle those multi-hour things at the amusement parks, which I can't
And your son had a great time.
Robert
That's
had
the
a
most
blast,
important thing. That's the most important thing.
And as I said, I've done it.
Right.
And I look forward to the disc jockey that does it next year.
We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
This week on the show, the comedian Godfrey.
You ever seen Olympic badminton? It's no joke.
That's ridiculous. That's
that with the shuttle thing?
It's got to be
shuttlecock.
Fun to watch.
Shuttlecock.
You can say
shuttlecock.
You can say you can say as long as shuttle
is attached to it.
Right. You said already.
Yeah. But something's got to be attached
cock your gun.
To it.
Cock your
cock
gun. You
your
can
gun.
Say
yeah.
shuttlecock.
Cock,
that's okay.
Right. Cock
cock a doodle doo.
Cock a doodle doo.
Yes.
Doodle doodle.
Yeah. Have
no
a cock
on
you. You can't doodle it. But you can cock a doodle.
Not doodle
the. No. No.
You can cock a doodle.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, week three of fantasy football.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Quit standing on the sidelines. You've watched your friends play. I watched all my friends play. Now, not only do we have the TMOS League, and we want you to join that. That fills up quick. I know you're complaining about it, but the fact is it is what it is. I'm not sure how many people we're going to have this week, but we have the TMOS League, and it does fill up fast, so be aware of that. I play many different ones on FanDuel as well, including the Million Dollar Challenge, and I went to school this weekend about fantasy football. Before we do that, let's get Rob with the results of our FanDuel.com league.
All right, right now, going into the Monday night game, week three, in third place, Jay Bernstein, 13, 164.9. Teachy D, 1995, 169.92. And in the lead, first place.
Wait, what are the numbers? Can you translate those?
Yeah, you got to give them. In third place, second place. You didn't say second place.
I'm sorry, second place, yeah. Teachy D, 1995. And in first place, R. Irvine.
Yeah, he's got 173 points, .80 going into Monday Night Football.
Mike, you still have a player going.
I've got Aaron Rodgers, but it doesn't matter.
No, because Mike, you're in 184th place. So
am I really in 100? Yeah. Am I in 184th place?
I played
4 leagues. Do you know what the guy that won the $1 million in FanDuel? He had 250 plus points.
But
250 plus. I figured out what it is. There's a strategy. I'm reading more about fantasy football now,
Good man.
I'm gonna play. I'm playing FanDuel. I deposited more money in there because I am going nuts for FanDuel.com. I swear to God, I love it. I absolutely love it.
I'm in 78th place, so don't feel so bad, Mike. And I had 122 points.
I'm at 103rd, but I still have a player going tonight as well.
Who's going tonight?
Tonight I have Aaron Rodgers as well, so we both need him to score.
All right, so that's
points.
Official. Come on. I'm so bad at it. I'm so terrible. I wrote down, I wanted to do a whole segment. We might do a whole segment talking about this tomorrow. I'm really bad at it, and I want to get better at it. And you know what? I think these guys that are winning a lot of money, I think they really take their time, and
yes,
they do it right. Yeah. They're really smart about it. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our code TMOS and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. This offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code TMOS. The offer is fantastic. Fantastic. Just remember to enter TMOS at FANDUEL.com. FanDuel, where every day is a new season. Sign up today, and someday I'm going to win. I promise you. I really
news.
Am.
Yes, news.
Bob Brady. Anybody know that name? Bob Brady. Anyone? Anyone?
Bob
Show of
Brady.
Hands. Anyone?
No,
yeah,
I don't.
He was the youngest brother. There was Peter, and there was Greg, and Bobby.
No.
Bobby Brady. This
Bobby
is
Brady.
Different Brady. Bob Brady is a congressional Democrat from Pennsylvania, and he's a Catholic.
Uh-huh.
So after Pope Francis spoke to Congress on Thursday, he noticed the Pope had left his water glass up on the podium. Did you see the story about this
dude?
No,
I did see this guy. This guy's a piece of work, this one.
He'd only taken about 3 sips, so Brady snuck up there, stole it, then took it to his office to take a sip. His wife took a sip too. Jeez. Oh, wow. And this is a congressman, United States congressman.
I know.
Want to know what's wrong with government? So did two of his staff members. Then he invited a few other members of Congress to dip their fingers into it.
What?
Yeah, not weird at all. Then he put the rest of it in a bottle and says he's planning to use it to bless his grandchildren. He says, quote, "How many people do you know that get to drink out of the same glass as the Pope?" Apparently, this isn't Brady's first time pulling a move like this. He also took President Obama's water glass after his inauguration in 2009. So, way to go, Congressman.
So, he's going
to
be, you know,
really
what?
Weird.
It is weird. And also, just as a rule, bless your kids before the people put their fingers in the water.
Thank you. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Right. A sleep expert at Oxford University in England found the ideal time of day for people to have sex based on your body's natural rhythms, your schedule, and your obligations at different ages. Here's what he found. In your 20s, the best time of day is 3 p.m. Afternooner.
Nice. Man.
3 you know, I'm p.m.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to my 20s. Probably not a lot of time that, yeah.
Before your parents got home from work.
That's right.
In your 20s.
I've been in my teens.
Let's say in your 20s, you might have been out in
that.
College or
Mom
maybe in the workforce.
Mom got take care of business.
Oscar makes that instantaneous assumption that you are staying with Mom.
Right.
Very good. Yeah. That's when you have a big energy spike a few hours after lunch. That's why he says that.
Okay.
In your 30s, Oscar Santana, the best time is 8:20 a.m.
Ah, too early.
The morning sunlight triggers your hormones, and it's when you might have a little free time as a parent.
Well, makes sense.
Doesn't apply.
No.
In your 40s, Rob Spiewak, the best time is 10:20 p.m. It's the best way to relax at night and to help yourself get a good night of sleep. In your 50s, the best time is 10 p.m. They shave 20 off the 40s. You're too busy the rest of the day. Not. In your 60s, the best time is 8 p.m., about halfway between dinner and when you go to sleep. So oxytocin can flow through your body the best. It's the hormone connected to getting the job done.
Sure.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
And in your 70s and later, the best time is also 8 p.m. to help you go to sleep. That's what it says. Well,
and so in your 80s, early bird. It will help you go to sleep forever.
The Washington Nationals were serious World Series contenders coming into this year, but over the weekend, they were eliminated from the playoffs, and apparently tensions are running high. Yesterday, two of their star players, Bryce Harper and Jonathan Papelbon, started brawling in their own dugout. I throw this open. Did you boys see the video? Pretty nasty stuff.
Yes,
you know?
I did. And I think you offered some analysis, I believe, before the show.
I think that Jonathan Papelbon is on the other side of his career, which is obvious, declining skills and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Papelbon, probably not the best teammate in the world, kind of a head case when he was with the Red Sox. He won us a World Series, so I got a little love for the guy there. But he's been kind of a malcontent wherever he goes. And I think Bryce Harper, all you have to do is look at the hair. And, you know, yes, he's done good things around Washington. He is their star player. He is a prodigy and a fantastic player, but I think he's got a little toot as well. And I think when you behave like that, you know, it's bad for both guys. Well, I don't know what you guys think. I mean, you're there.
It was the first time I really cared about the Nationals all season, to be honest with you.
Right.
The other side is I'm not shocked that this doesn't happen more often. The wild part is that you have such clear and definitive proof of the choking that in itself, it when you zoom it in with this world of HD and a camera everywhere, that you when you put your hand around a man's neck, that's really, I mean, that you can't get any more aggressive than that.
Well, and they also said they were fighting like brothers. Looked a little worse than that. But also, I think
what kind of brothers fight like that?
Well, a lot of, you know, brothers can go at it pretty good. But the fact is,
the choke factor was like, I want to kill you.
Yeah,
I want to kill you. And the fact is that it looked like Bryce Harper was going, come on, let's do something about it. Come on, you want to do something about it? And then Papelbon went after the guy. Yeah, and then, you know, they said they were fighting like brothers, but I think ultimately it began when Bryce Harper didn't leg out the fly ball, and I hate that more than anything. I think that's a standard in baseball. There are guys that run down the line every time, and then there are guys that don't, and I think you should, but nothing justified what he did.
True.
So that's that. Matt Damon doesn't envision himself playing a superhero in the near future, but came close to fighting crime in Hell's Kitchen. Damon told the Daily News that his children, he and best friend Ben Affleck, dreamt of playing Daredevil. For us, it was always Daredevil. That's the comic we read when we were kids, Damon said. But when that one came along in 2003. I chickened out because I couldn't tell. I hadn't seen the director, Mark Johnson's work, and I didn't know, so I just said no. Ben was like, I got to do it. The movie ended up doing very well, even though I don't think Ben was ultimately very proud of it, Damon added. In fact, Affleck told Playboy last year that Daredevil was the only movie that he regretted doing. So that's
wow,
pretty interesting.
He didn't
yeah.
meet Jennifer Gardner on set.
That's right.
And, she was yeah. Elektra.
That's true. Elektra. Mm.
No longer together, right?
No, it didn't work out.
That's a shame.
A tarantula that escaped in the cargo hold of a passenger flight from BWI to Atlanta Ooh. Grounded the plane before it could take off and sent passengers onto another flight. Brian Cruz is a spokesman for Delta. He tells the Baltimore Sun that baggage handlers noticed a baboon tarantula had gotten out of its container.
What kind?
A baboon tarantula.
This is a big spider.
Yeah, sounds it, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound? Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
You know, do we have a clip of the
Holy smokes.
Hold on just a second. We have it somewhere. Hold on. There it is.
Massive.
Thank you.
Show pick.
Yeah. Cruz said, Jesus. Is that a baboon? Oh, dear. Oh, my God. That's scary. Cruz said the captain grounded the plane so it could be searched. Cruz says the spider was confined to the cargo hold. But it's a spider. Can't it get like through little crevasses and all that crap?
Yeah. Not if it's as big as a little puppy.
Other tarantula was found on plane. Isn't that good? Sigourney Weaver will be in the new Ghostbusters. She will be in the movie. The director tweeted, quote, gang, trying to keep surprises, but this is about to leak, so I'll tell you myself. The awesome Sigourney Weaver is going to be in our movie. She was in the first two movies back in the 80s. The more people they put from these old movies, the more inclined I am to see them for novelty's sake.
I agree. That'll be cool. I wonder if she'll be playing the same character. Her character was named Dana.
Dana Barrett.
Dana Barrett. Thank you very much.
Zool. Yeah, very cool. And now a little something, something. 48-year-old Janelle Callahan. C-A-double-L-A.
All right. H-A-N.
Spells Callahan. She's from Clearwater, Florida. She was arrested on Thursday afternoon when she got drunk and punched her male roommate in the face. That's your basic, boring Florida crime story
right.
that wouldn't make our radar, especially in that part of the world. But what she did afterward made it. She was in a van on the way to county jail with a 60-year-old woman named Virginia Turner. Ladies and gentlemen, Janelle Callahan, Virginia Turner. Virginia Turner, Janelle Callahan. Virginia had been arrested for trespassing. So, yeah, if you know Florida like I know Florida, you can pretty much picture these women in your mind's eye.
Okay, very good.
Apparently, Virginia passed gas near Janelle in the van. And according to the cops, Janelle freaked out. They were both handcuffed, so Janelle tried to elbow Virginia in the face. When that didn't work, she managed to get her right leg up and kick Virginia in the face. Janelle was already facing a battery charge for hitting her roommate, so she got a second count of battery for attacking Virginia. No word on what varietal of gas it was. The famous Florida Silent, the Tallahassee Deadly, or the Dreadly Tampa Prison Moist. We're not sure.
All but bad. Anyway. Mike, they all have their bad qualities.
Hey, you're in a closed van, you know.
Oh, that's not rough. Good.
A little tough. We'll take a break, come back with the Magic Audio Vault and Comic-Con Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
For more broadcasting, you've got many choices. The Mike O'Mara Show, The Rob and Joe Show, The Tony Perkins Show, Tech 411, and, of course, Cake and Cookies with Rob and Katie. Now, how do you keep in touch with all of those shows? Check out O'MaraCast. Here's some more broadcasting highlights from last week.
The result can be the best thing that's going to happen to you, or you can be arrested.
No one goes up there to stink.
Now hear more at O'MaraCast. Download it from iTunes or the TMOS app.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Summer is gone, and it's time to get ready for the season of autumn. You see, some people call it autumn, but I call it fall.
Oh.
But not because of the falling leaves. I call it fall because whenever I see how great Amazon.com is, I nearly fall down. Amazon has everything you need for the upcoming month's warm clothes, school supplies, costumes, and candy for Halloween, rakes, and leaf blowers as well. If you're smart and think ahead, it's never too early for snow shovels, ice melter, and dazzling Christmas lights. Shop at home, beat the crowds, and save some moolah. Plus, it always is the right time of year to buy a grandfather clock. at surprisingly affordable prices. Besides, anytime you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tiny percentage. This is important to us. So if you're shopping Amazon anyway, please shop in a way that helps us out. It doesn't cost you any extra, and it's the best way to support the show. So the next time you need to buy anything, go to MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple. Thank you, and God bless all of you. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Monday, September 28, 2015. Rob Spiewak.
You alluded to it earlier that at the Festival of Families in Philadelphia, Mark Wahlberg was one of the MCs.
Yeah,
and he was standing
weird
in front of the Pope, and it was a little weird, I guess.
Yeah, because he's made nasty-ass movies. I mean, like Entourage on HBO
Boogie
and all
Nights
the things.
You know, and,
Boogie Nights, there's a great example
enough
right there.
Actually, one of his more profane movies was mentioned after a young boy, and it's funny, the name of the boy, Bobby Hill. He has an angelic voice. He's a young kid. I think he's 11 or 12, opera singer. So he finishes singing, and Mark Wahlberg is just feet in front of the Pope, and he says this.
That right there was truly the voice of an angel. But then he whispered in my ear that he loved the movie Ted.
That's actually
and I told him that was not appropriate for a boy of his age. Holy Father, please forgive me. I've always hoped that the good Lord has a sense of humor when it comes and pertains to many of the movies that I've made.
And the Pope did appear to enjoy it. So
that's
I think that
cool.
Hopefully we get him in heaven.
Interesting.
I think that's really the takeaway.
It was interesting. I don't know. I watched some of that, and all I can say is it was interesting. I'm not even sure I can comment on it. It just was kind of strange. You know.
To me, it looked like the biggest show-busy step that the Pope took when he was in our country. And
yeah,
he handled a lot of really classy things here.
Do
and
you think
in
he?
In
had,
New York City?
But he didn't coordinate that.
No, but he allowed it. But he's still part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but he didn't. Let's be honest here. He doesn't. He probably says what he wants to do. But as far as celebrities being there, do you think he says make sure that this celebrity's there, this celebrity's there, this celebrity's
there?
No,
but I have my thing that I have a little bit of a problem with is the fact that he did sort of a telethon. He did a star-studded thing.
And I only have one question about the entire event. Where was Joe Montana?
Here. But, I can understand why he wants to be there because the Pope has a record to sell. He's got an album that's coming out in November. Here is the first single. It's actually his speeches set to music. This song is called Wake Up and Go, Go Forward.
Wake up. Wake up. This Lord speaks of a responsibility which the Lord gives you. It is the duty to be vigilant, not to allow the pressures, the temptation, and the sins of the ourselves or others to dull our sensibility to the beauty of holiness.
So look for him coming back in about a year for the Grammy Awards to pick up his trophy.
Get off the stage, Beyonce.
And you know who had a bad day last week is Shep Smith, who they were doing a story about trying to figure out, which they've been doing for years, trying to figure out who was the model for the Mona Lisa.
Oh.
And Shep Smith said this.
And an update from scientists trying to identify the model for Leonardo DiCaprio's Mona Lisa. After digging up some woman's remains and putting them through DNA testing, it seems they are no closer to knowing the smile that men have named. Stay tuned.
And of course, Leonardo DiCaprio did not paint the Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa was painted by Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm. There may be a school of thought that would say that, perhaps DiCaprio is on Shep's mind more than Shep.
You know what? You can't think for another man.
Yeah. No, you can't. I have no idea. Don't know what's in his head.
And
absolutely.
You know what? Well, I think I do. And lastly, I can't believe we missed it. Last Friday was National Punctuation Day.
Today is National Punctuation Day, so today we celebrate the appearance of a period for a totally different reason.
That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeOMaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with our show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia 20177. That's where Rob gets all the good stuff that he opens up on Wednesday mornings on the show. That was me really goosing it. If you want to get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, do it today. It would make a very sick boy's life a lot easier.
Help me.
It's Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. The Mike O'Mara Show relies on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Sayonara!
Ciao, ciao.
Goodbye.
Hey, not so fast, Mr. Big Shot. I got to tell you that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So shop Amazon and use our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.